And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. We labored. You didn't see it, but we did. It's September 3rd, 2024. I'm Doug Hagmann, your host. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in us. I just want to say, I want to be known now as the dog father of truth. I don't know if that but I don't know how you guys feel about that, but that's kind of the way I feel, the dog father of truth. But anyway, got a great show lineup for you today. I want to get right into it. Dr. Jerome Corsi, you know him. His reputation precedes him. This man has done more for this country, I think, than many, many, many people put together. I just absolutely love this guy. Love him like a brother. I've had time to spend time, or just spend time with him once in Washington, D.C. I'll never forget sitting down at the National Press Club with him, sharing breakfast, and just, you know, the man is really a star. He has a website. Now, I want to get this proper, and I want everyone to make sure you copy this down, or you tell everyone about this website. God's5stones.com. Now, I deliberately really said that slow. God's5stones.com. There it is on your screen. Make sure you write that down, bookmark it, whatever you have to do. Share this with other people. This will explain what we're going to be talking about today. But his writings, his books, his works, even his latest about the fight against the globalists, folks, you've got to really grab a hold of his books as well. I am a big time reader of anything that he writes, and he's written so many great books. But check out God's5stones.com. Before we get into the program, very quickly, I just want to thank our sponsors. Thank you. We were off last week because we had a viral sickness go through the production and engineering, and Eric the Tech was down. He was sick as a dog, and I mean a sick dog. And, of course, we had some other investigative tasks that we were involved with, had Shatter Ops up here as well as Randy Taylor. We were in south of here in Pittsburgh attempting to emulate Dr. Corsi's investigative journalism investigations and such. But anyway, more on that some other time. Again, before we go get into this, I want to just direct you to another website, threeharmfulfoods.com/Hagmann. Real quick here, folks, listen, we're living in the most advanced era in human history. There's never been more medical breakthroughs than there are right now. So why are millions of Americans more unhealthy and overweight than they've ever been? Now, according to U.S. board certified physician and expert nutritionist, Dr. Amy Lee, one of the main reasons is three harmful foods that are being passed off as health foods all over the country. And wait until you hear this. Because these foods can cause weight gain, and I've seen this happen with family members, they clog your digestive tract, they deplete your energy, they wreck your skin, they're banned in other countries. Yet, shockingly, they're still legal here in the U.S., and it's time someone shined a light on what they are. Dr. Amy Lee does just that while explaining how the side effects of these foods are wreaking havoc on the health of millions of Americans. I'm telling you, you've got to see this for yourself. The great news is, however, it's easy to stop and reverse this damage by simply learning which foods to avoid and how to spot them. And by doing so, folks, you can experience easier weight loss, smooth digestion, and vibrant energy. And I'm telling you, everybody seems to have this weight loss and health stuff. But this really, I found this works, especially with the digestive system. And to find out these fake health foods, go to three harmfulfoods.com/Hagmann. That's the number three, harmfulfoods.com/Hagmann, two ends on Hagmann, or click on the link in the description box below. And after years of extensive study, Dr. Lee put together a revealing video. You've got to really watch it, totally free to the public, so you never get duped by these foods again. Find all you need to know, again, to regain control over your body at threeharmfulfoods.com. That's the number three, harmfulfoods.com/Hagmann. Make sure you throw that in there, two ends on Hagmann, or just click on the link below in the description box. All right. Again, with me, Dr. Jerome Corsi, God's5stones.com. And he is really the David to the Goliath of the globalists. He and Dr. Carla Dean Graves. I love that woman. I love Dr. Horsey as a brother. With no further ado, Dr. Horsey, Jerome Corsi. I know he's on a very tight schedule today. He's traveling. He can explain that if he so wishes, but he's in the fight as we head toward election 2024, 62 days, some odd hours and minutes. Dr. Corsi, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, Doug, it's great to be back with you. Thank you. Looking forward very, very much to the discussion. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And again, I know you're slammed as ever, but you're making a difference with respect to your investigation found something. And when it was explained to me, now I'm pretty thick headed. So, I mean, when it comes to electronic stuff and computer, I don't know. But I'll tell you something. When I heard the explanation that you're about to provide, I believe to the listeners and viewers, it made sense to me. And that's all I really care about. So we're in the battle of our lifetimes with this election. It's communism versus not communism. So I'm going to give you the floor, Dr. Corsi. And again, a man I respect a lot. Please, folks, make sure you follow him. And the link for his website will be prominent below. But Dr. Corsi, just take it away.
Well, and we'll have make this a discussion. So okay. Interrupt as you've got questions, because okay. Some of this is not easy. What we've discovered, Andrew Paquette, who's a computer genius, about 2 years ago was looking at the New York State Department of Election voter registration rolls. These are the official rolls that New York uses for people to vote. And what he found was that, surprisingly, internal to the code, there's an algorithm. There's coded language here that's like a cryptographic code that is written into the New York Board of Elections voter roll, which allows for the creation of false records and the voting of those false records in mail-in ballots in a manner that can be certified, because what this scheme does, and this scheme is worthy of intelligence agencies. I mean, it is making, and we're finding in a lot of states, by the way, but I'll get to that. I think this is a CIA or National Security Agency. This is an intelligence operation I think it's indication. I'm beginning to believe the intelligence agencies are running our elections, not only in the United States, but worldwide. We're no longer voting free. We think we're voting, but it's all a Truman Show. Now, let me explain. The New York State voter rolls are supposed to be sacrosanct. You're not supposed to go into the inner workings of the database and put codes in there to alter the data. Now, yes, you can make it run faster. You can do codes to protect the identity of the people who are voters. But what Andrew Paquette found was that this was a fundamental renumbering scheme that it comes right out of classic cryptography. It's in the family of cryptographic schemes where you mark cards in a casino. So the goal here, whatever criminals created this, and by the way, it's prima facie crime to alter the database of an election voter roll that's going to be used in an election. I mean, that should be obvious. But the point is, they alter the numbers and the numbering scheme so that, in fact, you can create false records that can then be voted. It's very similar to the false records then become like marked cards that you've created, and you want to stick them into a deck of cards. And you want them to be unseen by the person you're playing against, because you don't want them to know they're in a casino that's rigged, even though the casino is rigged, and so are voting rolls, it looks like, across the country. At any rate, what New York State did was there's three steps involved in this kind of a scheme from an intelligence point of view. Number one is you've got to renumber the deck. Okay, you can't use the original number. Now, for instance, in a deck of cards, when you get a deck of cards from the manufacturer, the box of cards, playing cards, they come in cellophane, and you rip the cellophane off and you open the box, and the cards are numbered from the highest suit to the lowest card. So if you just stuck in marked cards, they'd be obvious because the marked cards would be the ones out of order. So you've got to reorder the database, and that's the first step. And Andrew Paquette's paper, which is on the God's Five Stone, is God's Without an Apostrophe, God, G-O-D-S, Five, guess spelled F-I-V-E, and Stones is plural, S-T-O-N-E-S.com, upper right-hand corner where it talks about the New York results. If you click there, you can see the paper that that Andrew Paquette published. I'll tell you about Andrew Paquette in a few minutes in terms of his background, but he's really a very brilliant guy, and he's the one that did the work that was brought to my attention. And what I'm doing now is to make sure the world knows about it. So on God's Five Stones, if you look at that New York voter rolls and bring up the Andrew Paquette paper, you're going to see that this paper was published. And it was published in a legitimate journal that looks at cryptographic schemes. It was the Journal of Information Warfare. It was published in 2023. And I'm going to explain to you in simple terms how the scheme works. Let's talk about renumbering. The goal, by the way, is to remove your voter ID number from the date you registered. The date you registered would be the logical order to order them. So if you came in and registered in a county number one, you'd be voter number one in that county. And then you'd aggregate up to the state, given the rank and among everybody registering in the state. But it would be chronological order. And if you did a graph of it, and the horizontal axis would be the date of registration. So the x-axis, time.
Yeah.
Then the x-axis will be chronological. So you come in number one, you get number one. You come in number 100, you get 100. Well, that's legitimate. That's straight. That's not how New York does it. So the analogy I use is, Doug, everybody knows their children and what order they're born in. You know, our firstborn child was, well, we all know that was one born first. You say, well, my third child was really good with music. Well, nobody's confused about who your third child is. You know. But you come to the state of New York and they say, well, I'm sorry, but your first child is number one. But your second child is number 12. And your third child is number 23. The next child is 34. The next child is 45, and the next child is 56. So wait a minute, I don't have 56 kids. We'll say, well, it looks like there's 56 kids in your list. And they say, well, by the way, there really are kids between your first and second. So there are 10 kids between 1 and 12, and they're not yours. We put them from somebody else, just put them there. And by the way, two of them don't exist. They're fake. We made them up.
Okay.
See, because you opened up room in the database by renumbering it, now I can enter in false records that look like they're real. Because they'll have all the same information in it. I may have cloned it. So I've got somebody's name and the address, but I changed the middle initial, or I changed the address, or I create a ghost record. Just make one up. So there's lots of ways to create false records. But when you look at that false record, it looks legitimate, because how would you know that person's got 20 other registrations? Unless you go look in the database, or how would you know a person doesn't exist unless you go out and look for them? And the states don't go out to look for voters. They just register people who come in. So therefore, the point is, since I've renumbered the fake ones included with this whole renumbering scheme, I can give everybody a legitimate state ID. So my false votes now have a legitimate New York state ID in the renumbering scheme. And the renumbering scheme is a direct professional coding scheme. It's called a spiral cipher. And they use what they call rep units, which is 111111 to add to the sequential number of the next in the file. which means that there's 1,111 entries between you and the next one, to which other records can be inserted. And Andrew Paquette figured this out. When he saw it, he was startled. Now, what he then found out was that they reinserted these false voters into the database so you couldn't find them, except that the person who created the criminal scheme has a algorithm ID that locates the false records, false voters. So it's, again, some more ciphers. The paper described a Caesar cipher, which is a reordering cipher again. And, you know, essentially, if you were to look at that database, all these records look normal. But if you have the cipher, the criminal, you can say in New York State, you know, we've got maybe 2 million false records. There are that many in New York State. And maybe 300,000 of them are set up for mail-in balloting. And of those, I've got 50 to 60,000 that are just primo. You're never going to figure them out without a lot of work.
Okay.
So what I do is, so now I'm the criminal inside the New York State Board of Election. I penetrated the, maybe I work for the CIA. I just got a job there. I'm doing a covert operation that the Board of Election doesn't know about. And if they saw it happening, it wouldn't cause any suspicion because it looks normal. So what I do is I sit there, and as I need to, I see that, you know, Kamala Harris is not doing very well. So maybe I need to start going into my pool of false voters and start requesting, making sure they've all got mail-in ballots. And then I run that ballot through the machine. So now I've got a false voter with a real New York State ID that requested a ballot, mail-in ballot, got one, and it ran through the machine with that number, that legitimate New York State ID, voter ID number, but the voter is false. But it certifies, because all I'm trying to do is check to see that a voter who is on my database and is a voter with a number that was a voter ID voted, and that I got the ballot and I counted it, and now it certifies. And so therefore, I can do as many of those as I want. I can do them all day long.
Okay, just to be clear, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. So this is happening, for example, in this paper. And folks, you've got to read the paper because it'll help you totally understand what's going on. And the graphics there are phenomenal. In New York State, the state level, am I correct to say this? They're creating individuals or votes or voter registrations out of whole cloth. These people,
correct.
These people don't exist.
Correct.
Okay.
And they know they don't exist.
Okay.
It's an intentional scheme to cheat.
Right.
Okay. And so if I'm the criminal who does this and put this scheme in there, unbeknownst to anybody except my Confederates, I can basically come to you and say, well, how do you want Kamala Harris to do? You want her to win by 1%? You want her to win by 3% or 5%? You want her to make a comeback during the day? Start a surge that evening? You want me to stop the votes? We'll overnight produce the ones we need. You give me the script, I'll run the election that way. Because I can sit in my computer and I can draw on these pool of fake registrations, certified with numbers in my certification system. They've got legitimate voter IDs, but they're made up. They don't exist, these people. I can pull them out of the pool at will, get them, make sure they requested mail-in ballots, take that number of the mail-in ballot, run it through the machine, and make it a certifiable vote. And I can do as many as I want. So I've got, and no matter how many people vote, I can always win the election. And if I want to, I can make it dramatic. I can make it the next day. And so, you know, in 2020, I wondered, I saw all these irregularities. People were driving in with trucks full of ballots, and there were ballots lying all over the place being run through the machines. I thought for sure, Doug, this would never certify.
Right.
Because it would never check out that these were real voters. And then somehow all these states certified it. And until I saw Andrew Paquette's paper, I said, that's how they did it. That's the real crime here. These guys are brilliant, and they got inside. They got inside the birdhouse, and they're eating the birds alive because the birds don't know the cat's sitting inside the birdhouse. And so, therefore, the birds are, you know, voters think they're voting. And now the part of this that is so, I think, tremendously nefarious is that it doesn't appear to be anything wrong. And the likelihood that you would go out and search to see if these voters were real, okay, and Andrew Paquette can find them. You know, the analysis will show that like 2 million records are likely false in the whole New York database, and at least 300,000 of them are set up for this mail-in voting scheme. We can identify them once we run tests through the data. And by the way, Andrew Paquette is a guy who does computer graphics. He went early on in his life. He went on to the Netherlands. He taught at the Netherlands. He got a PhD from the London School, which is a very prestigious school in Great Britain, on computer graphics. Springer, which is one of the leading publications in Europe of scientific works, published two of his books on computer graphics. He did computer graphics on Spider-Man and other movies. He's not a professional cryptographer, but the history of cryptography, World War II, when we cracked the Enigma code, Alan Turing and his team during World War II, they used to put crossword puzzles in the British newspapers to see who could brilliantly solve these impossible crossword puzzles, because those people could see patterns. And what Andrew can see is he can see patterns. And so as he looked at these numbers as they were sequenced in New York, it didn't make sense. They were sequenced out of order. Then he saw a deeper order. He saw the number schemes that were being applied. Now, we're finding that this is across the country. I've just spent 2 weeks in Ohio. And I presented this evidence to the Ohio Secretary of State's office. And we have an official inquiry opened up in the state of Ohio to see if there are algorithms in the Ohio Department of Election state database of voters. And I can tell you, we've found them. We've done a very initial report to the state showing them their scattergrams. In other words, you can take the counties and you can see if the voters are being assigned numbers in a straight line pattern according to when they registered. And in Ohio, a Huron County over by Sandusky is quite normal, not altered at all. People come in and register, they get the number according to the date they registered. Well, Huron County is a small county out by Toledo in the western part of Ohio, mostly Republican, largely rural, and a big mail-in vote for Democrats wouldn't make any sense there. But you go over to Mahoning County, look at the scattergram, and all the registrations are in like one quadrant of the scattergram. Like everybody in Mahoning County came and registered in 2 days, which is not possible.
Right?
They alter that by a mathematical formula, and then of course Mahoning County, next to Youngstown, is near the city, and it is a lot of Democrats, and that would be a place from which you'd want to mine mail-in votes. And there's about five or six counties in Ohio. I grew up in Ohio. I went to St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland, and I graduated from Case Western Reserve before I got my PhD in political science at Harvard. But I've been doing voter data. In the 1960s, I was, as an undergraduate, with my political science professors at WJW-TV downtown in Cleveland, Ohio, on Euclid Avenue, projecting results of elections. So this is I've got a great familiarity with this type of data. And when you see this, you realize the massive decision to just take over a system and corrupt it by intelligence agencies that are not satisfied that the people vote. They want to pick the winners and losers from their intelligence agency perspective. And I think from what we've learned about the intelligence agencies lying, I don't think that this is particularly conductive to what the Democrats like to call democracy. The point is that what Paquette found we're finding now in Ohio. Today, I'm headed down to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Tulsa just over the weekend had a mayoral election that was so questionable that it could not be certified. And we found again that the Oklahoma State Board of Election database has algorithms in it. And again, once these scatter plots are the way they are, we know the data has been modified. In Ohio, the cities control the Democratic vote. The state's largely rural, so they don't put the algorithm in every county. But in a state like New York, and by the way, we've also found the algorithms in New Jersey. We found them in Hawaii. We found them in several states. I'm beginning to think, Doug, we're going to find algorithms in every state we look at.
It sounds like that. Yes. Okay.
I don't think this is an isolated scheme. I think it's one that's being used worldwide. I mean, the elections in Europe and parliamentary elections follow the same pattern. They have two elections in the EU for parliament. On the first election, the conservatives did very well. In the second election, they said, well, the left surged. It woke up.
Right.
Well, I speak French and Italian. I called over to Italy and then to France and said, is there a surge in people voting at the polls? He said, Dr. Corsi, there's nobody at the polls. The surge is occurring in the machines. And so I'm saying that before we vote, we need to have an examination of every one of the state voter rolls maintained by the State Board of Election. And I went to Ohio. I grew up in Ohio. I believe the state officials in Ohio are honest. I think they're trying to do a good job. But I thought an honest state would be willing to listen to me and hold an investigation, and they were. They did.
Okay.
On our website, you can see the official communications we have from Brian Katz, who's the Public Integrity Officer in the Office of the Secretary of State in Ohio, Mr. LaRose. And he's saying, we've got an official investigation ongoing. We're waiting for Dr. Corsi to present results. Well, we presented them some. But Andrew Paquette is busy writing the report. I just saw over the weekend his report. And he's now found the mathematical schemes in Ohio. And he's just a few days, I think, from being able to produce a report that will shock Ohio. But because they're honest, I felt like I had a chance to get a hearing that would be honest. And when the Ohio officials saw something they didn't know was there, because they were priding themselves, they said, we have a 96% squeaky clean voter roll. And they've done a lot of work in Ohio. But you see, they're cleaning up voter records from people who are dead or who have moved. And those aren't the votes the criminals are planning, these intelligence agents are planning to use. The intelligence agents, you can clean up all those records, I wouldn't care. They've made up their own false voters within the database in a way that they control and you don't know about. And so that's, again, you know, it's, I think it was a rare event that this, that Epikek cracked this. So the way I got involved was an attorney, one of the attorneys in Ohio, Thomas Connors. Thomas is with the Mendenhall Law Firm in Akron. He had been working on some litigation in Ohio to challenge the election. And Tom called me and he said, Dr. Corsi, I've got this paper from Andrew Paquette and it's too complicated. I don't understand cryptography. I don't understand the math. It's way above my head. I'm a lawyer. And would you look at it and tell me if Paquette's onto something? I said, but this happened about 3 months ago. And I took a look at the paper and I read it immediately and said, I was immediately impressed that there was something there. It took me about a week to really work through it and to understand all the intricacies of it. And I understand cryptography. I've done a lot of work on it. I've written about it. I will be doing more writing in cryptography because the whole field interests me from World War II and Pearl Harbor, quite frankly. and I've studied it extensively. So I figured out the schemes. I called Tom, said, Tom, this paper's 100% legitimate. He's onto something. He's proved it. So I don't know how he did it, but he actually figured out the mathematical formulas, which sometimes takes professional cryptographers years to figure out. And he got it right, Andrew Paquette.
Right.
So if you're going to God's Five Stones, you're going to see in Ohio, and like with the interviews we're doing today, I did a lot of town hall meetings, and we recorded them, and they're up on the archives of God's Five Stones, so you can watch them. And if we can raise enough money, I'm going to try to do as many states as I can. I've got a list of about 13 states that include Texas, include Pennsylvania. I'm very suspicious of Michigan and Wisconsin. I think we're going to find Arizona, along with Oklahoma and Texas. I think they're all infected with these schemes. And at first, it's hard for people to believe. I mean, they say our intelligence agencies are running our elections. Well, they're running about everything else. And if you take a look at the way the Democrats have staged their 2024 campaign, well, after that debate, Biden's ratings were so low that nobody would believe that he could challenge Trump successfully because the distance was just too great.
Right.
So they had to get rid of Biden, which they did in a very ungraceful way.
It was a coup, actually, within the Democrat or Socialist Communist Party. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
They told him he wasn't president anymore. And if he didn't like it, they were going to expose his criminality, with accepting bribes all over the world during his entire political career.
Yep.
Enriching his family. And maybe other things which they had blackmailing him on, which you can only speculate. But so Biden steps down, kind of. He's still president, kind of. So Kamala comes in. Well, nobody likes Kamala. I mean, this is one of the most unlikable people. She slept her way into the position. She's got a very ugly history in California. Every other word out of her mouth is rabid neo-Marxism.
Yep.
Free the prisons, open the borders, destroy the cities, destroy America. We hate God. Perform more abortions. Have more gender madness. I don't think there's been a worse. And then this guy Wall, wherever they found him, into the stolen honor, and even his brother says he's no good. This guy is bizarre behavior, contortions and.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. And that ticket, their dream ticket, is a nightmare ticket for us. Which brings me back to this. In my view, the only way that they could possibly win, and if I'm understanding you correctly, is the algorithms are enough to even convince someone in an oversight position. To say, yeah, everything appears right, correct, but it's within that algorithm, it's within those hidden or created from whole cloth non-existent votes or people enhanced votes that they can convince even the most well-meaning person unless they know what you've discovered. Is that right?
That's right, and you got it exactly, and that they can certify them because they've given these false votes real state ID, voter ID numbers, legitimate within their redone counting schemes. So they've created spaces for these two false children to be placed in your stack.
Right.
And you don't know they're there. You don't know that 56 are there because they don't tell you how they renumbered things. And then the point is, if it's certified, it's going to be hard to overturn. You see, that's the trouble we've had with the 2020 election is that all these lawsuits are saying the 2020 election was fraudulent. I try to explain to Sidney Powell, don't go out and say you've got the Kraken because you might not have it. So they've done setups here. I said, the Dominion voters have changed. You could see them switching votes. So, but I've been on the inside of vote tabulations on presidential elections, and the numbers come in raw. Some of the precincts are reporting with 5% reported, 10%, and the numbers shift some during the night. So maybe just because the numbers change the Dominion computers doesn't mean that that's inherently criminal activity. And they'll argue that it was for legitimate purposes, and you'll be out in the cold if you can't prove it wasn't, and you won't have the data that you need to prove that. So then they're going to be able to have defamation cases against you, or to say you're challenging a legitimate election, you're undermining confidence in elections, which could be a crime. So I said, I want to do a very different approach. I'm saying we found these algorithms. By the way, we know some of them have been around. These, I think, were possible after HAVA, after the HAVA Act, that helpful legislation for voting cleanup in 2002, where the states were mandated to create their own state voter ID numbers. I think somebody had the scheme in mind as far back as 2002. And by 2007, many states were adopting them. And if we can get into the computers, the servers the states are using, and get into the machine language, which is, you know, the ones and zeros, we can tell probably when these algorithms were placed into the state voter database, and we can determine the false records. I mean, all this stuff is likely still there. And in New York State, when they remove when they use one of these false records, they make it inactive, but they don't remove it from the database. So we can go search those and realize that they used a record from a non-existing person. We can begin demonstrating this. We've been finding the votes that they're using and pointing them out. We're developing analytic tools which go in and say you've got this many suspicious records. And there's astounding numbers of these. Certainly enough to flip an election. And that seems to be the point, is saying that, well, let's gaslight Kamala. You know, she's doing really well. She's beating Trump in polls. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
Doug, this is the worst presidential ticket, this Kamala Harris and this guy Wall, since George Wallace picked Curtis LeMay in 1968 to be his running mate. Curtis LeMay firebombed Germany in World War II. He was at a strategic bombing, firebombed Japan, dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. Then he wanted to go as Joint Chiefs. Under Kennedy, wanted to go to nuclear warfare with Russia and the Cuba Missile Crisis. Kennedy thought he was insane. And George Wallace, of course, was a racist. And that ticket was a terrible ticket. This ticket's worse.
Mm.
This ticket's outright Marxist, lying. But it was constructed. The Democrats' only apparent strategy seems to be to steal the election. And that's their only path to victory right now. And this mail-in scheme that we've found embedded, imagine this, in the office of the State Board of Election is where this crime was committed. It's an inside job. That doesn't mean that the rogue agents were, you know, that the Board of Election was in on it. But it does mean that they got penetrated, and the scheme got put in place at the best without their knowledge, and they can't find it because they don't understand cryptography, they don't understand the complications of this type of work.
Now, what would be the process? Because I'm trying to understand this from my investigative point of view. How would this crime take place? Would it be? Would it be a hack or an access from afar? Would it be somebody in that office accessing the computers? Would it be, I mean, how would that actually, what would that look like, that crime?
It could be done remotely.
Okay.
You could have Langley or, you know, one of the NSA capabilities penetrate the computer and do it remotely.
Okay.
You could also put an agent on site to be there to monitor it on site. You need access to the server on which the State Board of Election voter data resides, because you're going to go into the server and you're going to change the renumbering scheme. And so it means the traditional numbers, which rank voters chronologically from one to whatever by the date they registered, that link with reality is broken. So there's the voter ID number you get bears no relationship to when you registered. It is not a function of when you registered. You might have registered later and get an earlier voter ID number because they sorted you back into their renumbering scheme earlier. And it's all determined by the algorithms. It's just a mechanical numbering process, and it's very methodically controlled, and you can see it in operation. I mean, it's a brilliant operation, but cryptography has to follow rules, Doug, because, you know, when you write a code, the people you want to read it have to be able to decode it. So the code has to be reversible. You have to go into the code, and then whoever's got the code book has to be able to read out of it.
Okay.
Okay, so the analytics that are applied, the mathematical formulas or the transformation of letters or what they call steganography, the hiding of information, like in microdots, this all has to be systematic so whomever you mean to look at it can retrieve it and can decode it. Now, what Paquette did is he was not meant to read it, but he found it and he figured out how to decode it without being given the code book. But that's the brilliance of what he did. Okay, without being given the code book, he said, this is a numbering scheme. This is a spiral cipher. Here's how spiral ciphers work. I'm seeing these intervals between numbers. They're using 1111 to add to the next number. It took him probably 2 or 3 months to figure it out. But once he had it, he had it. And then he could predict the numbers as to where they would be. He could show you how the data was renumbered. And then he could show you where the illegal votes were hidden and how they could be used and erased. So, for instance, he found in New York, there's one peculiarity. Paquette found that there is a one gentleman who shows up in the file along. I'm going to get his name here for you exactly in just a second. I'm going to pull up on my computer. It's on our website.
All right.
On the God's Five Stones, but I want to just give you the exact name here of this guy because this is really interesting. There was a famous identity theft in New York and New Jersey, and he was convicted of wire fraud, credit card fraud, passport fraud. He was getting passports under other people's names, and they put him away in prison for a long time. Okay, and so his name, I'm going to pull up, the spreadsheet's just coming up on my computer right now. I'll tell you his name in a second. But his name is in the, they used, okay, so his name, here we go, is Arthur Morello, M-A-U-R-E-L-L-O. Arthur Morello was the identity theft, convicted in New York, New Jersey. And he has 23 records created for him by these criminals in the New York State Board of Elections database. And then they also registered all the members of his family, everybody with the Morello last name in the state. And so you can see Morello's got all the different addresses he's supposed to have lived at, and his records are all purged, which means they used them and then they purged them, but they left them in the database. And then most of the other records for the other people who were related are active. But this is like a inside joke. Haha, we're so clever. We can create the records under the name of the most famous identity theft that we know of, and nobody will get it except if you're on the inside of the joke. That's how these guys, whoever did this, think that they're so smart they never be found. And by the way, the criminals who did this, the intelligence agency operation, never expected to be caught.
Right.
That's the other fundamental here. They never expected to be caught. So they could set up this elaborate show, narrative. Well, Biden's dropped out. Well, why did Biden drop out? Well, don't worry about it. He's just gone. Forget about him. So it's Kamala. Now we're going to gaslight Kamala. Isn't she wonderful? Look at all of her great, you know, ideas. She can't get 25 people to come and attend one of her speaking events. Probably even if she paid them, she couldn't draw an audience like Trump draws.
Right.
But, you know, that doesn't matter because we're going to say she's just really brilliant and she's surging among the left. She's surging. And so, therefore, when the election occurs and they use these mail-in votes through this algorithm to create enough votes to make her go over the top, even though stopping the election and printing them the next day, bringing them through, the ones that they'll count are the ones they run through the machines with that number of that voter. And then they're going to say it's certified, so what are you going to do about it? Because we said it was approved and it was official. And so therefore, we've certified our own crime. And if you didn't know about the algorithms, and you know, right now people are absorbing the idea that how could our database of voters be this corrupted by intelligence agencies? What nefarious purposes do they have? Well, this New World Order wants to win at any cost. They want to use the neo-Marxist, you know, gender uncertain left to destroy America, destroy God, destroy the family. But then the World Economic Forum will be happy to take over with their Klaus Schwabs, their millionaires and their billionaires, want to merge themselves with machines and become transhuman. They don't need the rest of us. That's why I've written this book, The Anti-Globalist Manifesto, which is a war room book. Steve Bannon wrote the introduction. And I've created the Anti-Globalist Alliance, the United States and Europe, because we've got to take back our communities. We've got to take back our government. We've got to get rid of these governments that lie to us. You know, this is my second big book this year. I also did the book on the JF Kennedy assassination, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the final analysis. I worked with Dr. David Mantic, who is a radiation oncologist. Means he reads x-rays for cancer patients. He's been doing it for more than 40 years. Also has a PhD in physics. And what Dr. Mantic has discovered, he took a densitometer, which is a scientific instrument that measures light millimeter by millimeter coming through the x-rays. There are three Kennedy x-rays from the autopsy left in the archives. Dr. Mantic determined all three are fake. They're all forged to hide and mask evidence of frontal shots. Jack Kennedy, you can see in the x-rays, clearly was hit three times in the head.
Yep.
First shot hit him from behind at a low angle, probably the Daltex building. But moved his head forward to frame 313. You can see the big jut of blood and gore coming out from his forehead into the sky to the upper right. Then less than 2 seconds later, frame 320, the Zapruder film, the right side of Jack Kennedy's head by his ear explodes. A bullet hits him from the grassy knoll that blows out the back of his head, the occipital region. Clint Hill, who's a Secret Service agent running on the car, trying to get to Jackie on the left of the car, gets sprayed with Jack Kennedy's blood and gore as Jack Kennedy's thrown violently back to the left. And you see that. That's the second shot from the grassy knoll. You know, one shot from low angle Daltex, one shot grassy knoll. A bullet comes through the windshield. It's Jack Kennedy in the throat. That comes from the other side of the grassy knoll, south side up by the railroad yard. And Jack Kennedy's hit in the forehead above the right eye. And you can see the trace of the fragments of the bullet in Jack Kennedy's head that are little scatter particles to begin with, and they end up the biggest particle on the back of the head. Largest particle travels the furthest. It has the most weight. It's got the most inertia when a bullet breaks up inside a skull, and it does not exit. That book has unmistakable evidence that's being accepted as such that Kennedy was shot twice from the front. Dr. Mantic has been publishing this for 30 years, but it's very scientific, and so I've said, let's work together. But the science in the appendix, 560-page book, has got a lot of illustrations, and it shows that our government killed Jack Kennedy.
You know, I see a lot of similarities between that analysis and the set up to July 13th of this year without getting into detail. But one thing I do want to tell folks about your book about the JFK assassination, The Final Analysis, which you co-authored, folks, it's such a valuable piece of history, documentation, evidence. You bring the receipts along with your co-author. Folks, I would really urge everyone to grab your copy, because I do believe that has the infrastructure that you can take a look at that, read that book, and kind of apply it to the latest attempt on President Trump. I see a lot of potential similarities if things would have worked out different. But having said that, your latest book as well, the anti-globalist
manifesto.
Thank you. There it is on screen. This book, this is Ending the War on Humanity. I especially like this particular book. Of all the books that have been written about the globalists and what they intend to do, this gives a tremendous amount of detailed data, information. And folks, you know, I just love to read. I love to read good books. And this is, I think it's holding a 5-star rating on Amazon. So, I mean, this is perhaps one of the best books on the anti-globalist manifesto, the movement of the globalists, and how we can fight them. So thank you for your, I don't know when you get the time to do that, but thank you for writing both of those. And then, of course, folks, you can get drilled down into his previous books historically. Dr. Jerome Corsi is my guest. The website that we're pointing you to right now is godsfivestones.com. No apostrophes. The number 5 spelled out, godsfivestones.com. And there you can find what he's talking about. You've got the New York voter roll analysis. Well, even on the front page, you can see the paper that's being referenced, but also the paper on the drop-down menu along with the slides. Folks, don't take this lightly. So with that, Dr. Corsi, who do you see as, you mentioned the intelligence community. I see their fingerprints in just about every nefarious act that we're experiencing. Are there specific people, divisions, departments? I mean, how did they escape detection? Why can't we identify these?
Let's start off, first of all, about how much we've been lied to over the years.
Okay.
The narratives, the false narratives. And Jack Kennedy, by the way, was warning us about secret societies.
Yep.
He was on to this. Why do buildings that were not hit by the airplanes on 9/11 fall down, like building number 7? We never had an explanation for that.
No.
Why 1991 we invade Iraq as Saddam Hussein's got, we're told, weapons of mass destruction. We don't find any. Where were they? We get to, we have a vaccine, and the vaccine is going to prevent you from getting COVID. Well, it doesn't. You know, Fauci's had COVID, 9 times? And the vaccine seems to be dangerous. So it's a vaccine that doesn't cure you, but kills you. I mean, that goes on and on and on and on. And Jack Kennedy wanted to break up the CIA. I think his only mistake was to say he was going to destroy break it up into 1,000 pieces instead of just do it. But we're at a point where we need to take this entire government bureaucracy, which is running the United States on its own bureaucratic authority, making up all the laws and rules the way these beltway politicians want to do it. My solution is to move the entire federal government and definitely include the CIA and include the Department of Justice, which is about politically worthless right now. Move it all to Death Valley and give them all the solar and wind they want. Because these guys are anti-American. I mean, I've researched and I write about even in the Final Analysis that before World War II, Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles, John Foster Dulles was Secretary of State under Eisenhower, and Alan Dulles ran the CIA, They were together with Prescott Bush, the father of George H.W. Bush. They were funding Hitler from Wall Street. Thought this was a great idea. Hitler's self-appointed elite and working with the multinational corporations. A little bit of socialism. You know, Hitler was the first to have government-provided medical care and government-provided vacations before he decided he would kill all the people in World War II. Autobahns and Volkswagens cheap for the people. A little bit of socialism, but it was a system that was evil, not only at its heart evil because it hated humanity, but it's satanic in that it's love of evil. And the Dulles brothers were planning coup d'etats through the CIA and the State Department going back to 1957 in Guatemala with the banana company that we. They staged a false coup on. And we've had, in 2011, I caught HSBC money laundering. John Cruz, who was a relationship manager from Long Island, came to me and said, of course, yeah, I've got records here from Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, where I work. They're using people's social security numbers and names. They're running millions of dollars through their accounts and closing them. Well, I spent 15 or 20 years working with banks. I had a whole career in finance. I still have all my securities licenses and insurance licenses. I created two broker-dealers that I sold to insurance companies or banks. And the whole idea was that I called up some gentleman in New York City and said, sir, this could be an unusual call, but is your social security number? And I read it to him. He said, how'd you get that? I said, we'll get that minute. Did you run $3 million through your HSBC account last week? So I closed that account. I said, well, you better give me the name of your lawyer because that account's wide open, and I'm going to show you some records that will shock you. Well, Homeland Security got in touch with me, and I got the Senate Permanent Investigating Committee. It turned out that HSBC was laundering money for the Mexican drug cartels. They got fined $1.9 billion. Nobody went to jail. Well, the bottom line of that story is that wire transfers in the United States and worldwide are monitored every day, every single transfer by the National Security Agency and the Department, and also the Department of Treasury, and by a dozen other agencies. The fact is that the CIA was running the drug business. The CIA has been in the drug business since the OSS was founded during World War II. The intelligence agencies are running the drug business, and they're running pedophilia. And they're keeping it open to the border in order to foster their illegal income. We have a government completely out of control that wants to destroy the traditional values, doesn't believe anymore in family, doesn't believe anymore in God, doesn't believe anymore in the United States exceptionalism. And they're using this neo-Marxism, transgenderism to destroy all that's good about America, to reduce, and the American people are seeing it now in inflation, which is destroying the middle class, intentional inflation, spending money like crazy on deficits where, you know, now we're owing $1 trillion in interest on the national debt.
It's unsustainable. And just today I saw on the news, Dr. Corsi, where the Harris-Biden walls ticket, their regime wants to, or intends to, give the illegal invaders in our country 0% mortgages that's a direct attack on the middle class as well as on our freedom and economy. But it's just crazy, and they're giving them preferential, even though they're criminals, they're giving them preference over American citizens, which is just beyond belief. Hold on just one second here. Let's take just a quick break here. I know Dr. Jerome Corsi, his time is valuable. I don't think he's going to be able to take a drink before he walks out the door after the interview and boards a plane for the Midwest. So I really appreciate his time, and I look up to that man. I'm telling you, folks, I look up to Dr. Corsi, and I know his history, and I urge you, everyone out there, please, please do me a favor. Support the work of Dr. Corsi, Carla Dean Graves. Go to the website, and we have the website, of course, on the screen at times, God's5stones.com, because we can fight back. And if you want to know how to fight back, this is the way we can do it. Expose and then fight back by exposing the people and the processes behind this. That's God's5stones.com, all spelled out, no numbers in there. Very, very briefly, I want to talk about olive oil. I'm going to tell you something. This has made a difference in our lives, my wife and I. This platform has partnered with Dr. Gundry, Gundry MD, to share the information with you, this information with you. Would you believe that in your pantry right now, you have got right now one of the healthiest foods on the planet, and it's not some weird trendy superfood. It's olive oil. You've probably used, I'm sure you've used it for cooking. I know I have, but there are countless ways you can use olive oil to help yourself look and feel younger. For example, it's a natural way to help you achieve a more youthful appearance. Just look at my wife. I'm telling you, it really works. Besides helping you look younger on the outside, it's a fantastic tool for your insides as well. Now, according to Dr. Stephen Gundry, a famous cardiothoracic surgeon, nutrition expert, and health advocate, you should get as much high-quality olive oil into your daily routine as possible, whether it's taking a shot of it daily or keeping a bottle in your bathroom medicine cabinet. But what kind of olive oil is best for you? Best for your health? Well, any olive oil can give you some benefits, but if you're looking to get the best, it matters a lot which one you pick. So the olive oil industry is huge. You can tell by the number of different brands you see at the grocery store. Look, it's best. You can bet they're not all made with the consumer in mind. I can tell you that right out. When Dr. Gundry came to this realization, he was appalled. But some olive oils are so powerful, it may take only just a few tablespoons a week to see these incredible health benefits. So right now, how can you tell between an olive oil that can be a health booster and which one isn't up to par? In an effort to answer that question, Dr. Gundry has decided to take a stand, release his personal research and findings, and the video, which is on the website there, you're seeing it now, has gone viral since its release, and it's important for you to see it so you can start benefiting immediately. You can watch the video right now by going to getolivethenumberone.com. That's getolivethenumberone.com/Hagman. Folks, don't forget that, /Hagman. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Just click on the link below in the description box. And, you know, people have taken his advice, have shared their results with them. And they said, look, this olive oil is, the olive oil bought after learning his simple rules have helped change their lives. Make sure you go to GetOliveOne. That's GetOliveTheNumberOne.com/Hagman, or just simply click on the description box below below this video. Again, Dr. Jerome Corsi, a man I admire, I respect, a man that has a rich history in impacting our national history. And the website of note right now is God's5stones.com. Folks, we talked about the letter by the researcher. You've got to really look at that letter, read it. It took me a couple times to really go through it, but it's easy. Once you fall into the cadence of that, it's easy to see the algorithm, the pattern that Dr. Corsi is referencing. And, of course, we spoke about the issues in the state of New York, in Ohio, now on a local level, which Dr. Corsi is going to be boarding a plane to address out in the Midwest. Folks, this is why we have to. We must support his work. And I am going to put my own money where my mouth is and do that right after this show. Please do that. Talked a lot, too, about the JFK assassination, his book on that, co-authored on that, as well as the book about the anti-Clinton globalist manifesto, how we can fight against these dastardly individuals, these, as Jack Posobiec calls them, the unhumans, and we need to do that. But we need to go all in right now, support Dr. Corsi, because of all the different aspects of the voting situation right now, this is perhaps, I really think from this, he identified a very vulnerable aspect that can be readily explained. I'm not going to say easily, but certainly detected and then perhaps rectified forthwith. And don't forget, we have people like Jocelyn Benson, the Secretary of State of Michigan, saying, well, if you question the certification, you're going to pay the price. I'm paraphrasing. So we're fighting against that, too. And Dr. Corsi's put himself in those crosshairs. So with that, Dr. Corsi, I know we've got about, I don't know, about 20 minutes left. So let's go. More on whatever, wherever we should be looking.
Well, the one of the key things, I think, in the strategy we're using here on exposing these algorithms, which are coding, I think intelligence agency quality coding in the state Department of Election voter registration files to create, it creates false records that can be used for mail-in votes that will certify, because the scheme gives the false voter a real state ID number to vote. So you get a real ID number voting a false record. Very deceptive and very ingenious. But the point is, you know, we're not questioning, we don't have to say that, run the risk of saying, well, there was election fraud in 2020, which is a perilous strategy because those elections were certified. And that's got a lot of risks, which you can see. And the courts don't want to hear those cases. Because the truth of our, okay, so we got a different strategy. Now, I'll explain why the courts don't want to hear those cases in a minute. But our strategy is to say, look, we found these algorithms. We're finding them in many, many states. And they're inherently evidence, prima facie evidence of malfeasance. They shouldn't be there. So that's the first thing we're saying, is we're saying, you know, let's have discovery. So we don't know who put them there. We don't know if they've been used or not. We have suspicions. We want them investigated. So we're asking for discovery. Now, when the Ohio State Office of Secretary of State decided in the last 2 weeks to open up an investigation into our argument, our claims, our assertions that the Ohio Board of Election voter registration rolls also have algorithms in it, and we're finding we're right. We'll be making that report just as soon as Andrew Paquette gets through his analysis. And he's working very hard to get that done as quickly as possible. But we have found the algorithms that we were looking for, and we can prove it definitively. The report, I think, is going to be, again, another shock. But the point is, we're asking for discovery before the event. In other words, we're not questioning an election that's already happened. And then the courts don't want to hear these cases because the courts don't like to deal with political questions. And the truth is, our election process for presidential elections since the 1800s have been chaotic, and we don't follow the rules. So, you know, in the early part of our Constitution, whoever got the most votes was president, whoever got the second most votes was vice president, and you had Thomas Jefferson fighting John Adams in those years, and these presidential elections were highly contested and raucous and really knockout, drag out fights. And that's continued through our history. You know, so in 1876, the Rutherford B. Hayes was against a guy named Tillman. Tillman was for the South. He was one vote short of the Electoral College to be president. And they threw the election into the House of Representatives, which fought about it for months. Then they took a delegation. They sent them to a hotel. They said, you guys go to the hotel, eat all the food, drink all the whiskey, And as there's less food and less whiskey, you'll come to a decision. So their decision was that Tillman would resign from the race, Rutherford B. Hayes would be president, if the Union Army decided to withdraw the troops from the South and end Reconstruction, which the North agreed to. Well, that's a political agreement. So, of course, we have these cases and say, well, the Hava law demands all these requirements and the states aren't doing them, so they're not following the Hava law. Well, the courts are not going to get into that to say an election was fraudulent because, again, the history is that the rules were often not followed. And the courts want to solve politically. And truthfully, we've got to solve it politically. Truthfully, I like being able to be in Ohio and get an official body of investigation in the Secretary of State's office without going to a court, just simply presenting the evidence. And the strategy is to go to the people. Strategy is to work with Doug and with others here, and I'll continue writing, probably continue traveling the different states to get the word out, doing town hall meetings. God's Five Stones has got videos on it. Share those videos. You can pass those videos around all over the internet. Got a lot of writing on it. We'll do more. The Gateway Pundit has been covering us. Joe Hoft has been writing stories, and Jim Hoft covering this, working with us. Got interviewed by Joe Hoft last week. That interview's up on godsfivestones.com. We've got to educate people to the fact that you can't trust the government. And if the government's going to steal the election, they're going to steal it for Barack Obama, give him his fourth term, by having the last-minute mail-in surge where the voting stops and suddenly in the morning Biden's ahead of Trump and stays there. I mean, all these suspicious activities. So if the people are aware of it and they can see that there's an algorithmic scheme that our government's gone in, or somehow or other the intelligence agencies, which I'm certain, if our intelligence agencies are running our elections, they're running our government, they're running our presidents, this is no longer we the people.
No.
It's we the CIA.
And you're doing this proactively for the most part, right?
Yes.
So again, it, from an investigative point of view, you're going to the people who make the decisions to certify or whatever and saying, look, we discovered the elements of a crime or the conspiracy to commit a crime. Don't let this happen. Is that what you're
kind of? Yes. And saying even more fundamentally, take a look with us. And if we can show it to you there, we can show you the algorithms, we can show you the number schemes, we can show you the creation of false votes and how they can be certified. Don't deny it. Tell the people about it, and let's fix this. I mean, look, the credit card system works. The databases for the credit card system works great. You miss a payment, you get told right away you missed a payment. They don't. I'm saying, why don't we use the credit card databases for voting, and let's use the voting for credit cards? I mean, no one would ever pay a credit card. You'd have 50 of them and no limit, and they couldn't find you.
That's one way. Yeah. I like that.
We can solve these problems. But in my lifetime, we've gone from a population of 150 million to now 350 million, on our way to 500 million. And it's inevitable. We're going to be, the expansion of this country's populations in the works. And I've constantly pointed out in mathematics, a difference in size is a difference in phenomenon. In other words, you can't take a bumblebee and make it 10 times bigger. The critter won't fly. It won't lift off the ground. Its dynamics don't work on that scale. The airplane I'm going to be flying on later today, it is not made with the aerodynamics of the Wright brothers. there's some similarities, but this airplane, the Wright brothers wouldn't recognize this airplane that flies today. And it's because the fundamentals change. And so when we were a nation of villages and 100 people voted and you knew everybody, it worked one way. But today, with 350 million people, and, you know, small group controlling these state boards of election and, you know, controlling the rules and being partisan, you don't know anybody in the, you don't trust the machines. There's so many problems with our voting system. I say in old World War II terms, the thing is FUBAR. It's so messed up. It's beyond repair.
Absolutely.
There is no repair to this system. It's got to be thrown away, and a fundamentally new system's got to be conceptualized. People have to be able to have unique voter IDs that can't be compromised. And we have to have much more foolproof ways where the data is secured, not passed all over the internet. You know, the optics are terrible. The machines don't work. People are handed ballots that my husband and wife get a different ballot.
Yep.
You know, if people say, well, my vote didn't count. What do you mean it didn't count? Well, there were 400 people who voted in this precinct and you only reported 81 votes out of here. Well, the machine didn't work for a while. Well, that's inexcusable.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Corsi, I'm a simple guy. Well, why can't we, or are you in favor of, for example, one-day voting, show ID, paper ballots, people counting the ballots, or people, well, counting the ballots, not a machine, but people, and then overseers of that counting process? Wouldn't that be the answer?
Yes, but there's no simple answer. I mean, it's going to be a complex. We're going to have to take some time and deal with this.
Okay.
Because we're dealing with a very complex, highly technological society here today. And, you know, things do work. You want to see Major League Baseball and subscribe to the site. We're going to have a credit card. You're going to have to know how to use the passwords. You're going to have to be able to get in there. Then you can see your games if they're not screened out because it's a local game. I mean, there's rules, and the rules are generally followed. It makes it harder for the criminals to break the rules. And it's going to have to involve technology. Now, whether it involves the blockchain or some other methodology, I don't know. But it must be possible for us to give each person a vote that's legitimately theirs that can't be compromised. We've got to get the criminals out of the voting. You know, the criminals ran the casinos for a long time.
Yes.
Okay, well, MGM and the others took it over. And they made it into what it is today because they made it legitimate. And so, therefore, a lot of the, maybe not all the criminality, but a lot of the criminality got taken out of it. And if you find out that sporting is rigged or the people are betting on their own teams, that person's not going to last in professional sports very long because they can't tolerate it. It's got to be honest. So we've got to introduce these same standards of honesty into our voting. Our voting system is messed up because that's the way politicians want it. And they both wanted it because they both think they can cheat and win by cheating. We've got to eliminate winning by cheating. We've got to eliminate lying. Now, I don't know how you get lying out of politics, but one way is to stop the censorship. And, you know, the one way is to end this war on humanity, to bring God back into our lives, bring God back into our families, bring God back into our moral education of children. I'll stop thinking that sex is about recreation and you can be any flavor of sex you decide you want to be that day. You know, these are very destructive ideas. But if we want to make this country work, we can make it work. We have to decide to do that. That decision has to be a decision that we're going to say no to Satan. We're going to send Satan back to hell with all of his evil. We're not going to go for all these weird ideas that we're going to convince our children who don't know anything about, haven't even reached puberty yet, that they want to, you know, fundamentally have operations to change their sex organs. How insane an idea is that? Mm. You know, and these insane ideas that we have to stop using hydrocarbon fuels. Well, you know, the whole, and I've written books on this, that, you know, the whole global warming theory is nonsense in terms of true climate science. And the world is not warming up because of hydrocarbon fuels. I mean, there's less carbon dioxide in the atmosphere today than there was 400 million years ago. We've had ice ages in between.
Yes.
It's all, we got to quit lying to people. We got to get back to educating the children. You can't just have, you know, an education award so everybody feels good. No, you fail if you don't pass the test. If you don't pass tests, you don't belong in the school. I don't care about DEI. We're not going to judge people based on the color. We're going to based on what they're capable of doing, what they want to contribute, what value that they can produce for themselves and for others. If we don't get back to these values, we've got chaos. And this side wants chaos because they are destructive. The left can only destroy. The Democratic Party is destroying America intentionally. And yes. this election, I think, is the test of that. Because if they succeed in stealing this election by mail-in voting fraud, shame on us. Especially when we know there's algorithms, that there's encrypted code in the databases, and we can prove it. And I'm going to spend the rest of the time between now and the election doing whatever we have to do to bring this state to state to state to state and show over and over and over again that the election systems that our official boards of elections are using are rigged. And you can't have an election on a stacked deck of cards.
Right. Now, how can people best help you? I would urge everyone to go to your website, godsfivestones.com, but to definitely view the evidence, support your work, share the videos. By the way, I 3.5 minutes of you with Dave Brad on the War Room, I thought was just a tremendous video interview there. Again, it's on Dr. Course's website. But how can people best help you right now? Anything additional, or if you want to?
Well, I mean, contributions are $5, $10, all of this helps. If you care about the elections, it's easy to go to godsfivestones.com and contribute. Contribute electronically through a credit card. You can send in a check. I mean, we need the resources to travel, to do the work, to pay Andrew Paquette to get the research done, and we have a short window to get it done in.
Yeah.
Now we're starting to get attention, because once we begin to demonstrate results, not just in New York and New Jersey, we've got the complete decoding of the algorithms, but we are now able to prove that they exist in Ohio. Soon we'll be presenting that evidence to the Ohio Secretary of State's office and their inquiry. I'm flying down to Tulsa to do the same in Oklahoma today, as I want to work with the whole idea that mayoral election has not yet been certified. There are so many problems with it. The problems, just watching 2020, the improprieties were legion. It's like these demons didn't care. They were going to say in front of you they can pull this crime off. They're going to say they could elect Barack Obama said they could elect a dead guy, you know, weekend for Bernie and have AI talk to you. They could elect a dog, they think. So they don't care that, you know, Kamala Harris and this guy Wall are the most unattractive candidates I've seen in my lifetime, because they think they'll get them elected anyway, because voting doesn't count. If they think that they can run simulations of elections, the next thing they'll do is run a simulation of the election to turn out the way they want. They'll throw away the real votes and tell you their view, their lie, their meme, their narrative about how you voted, surging for the left. And they'll take away your freedoms. They'll take away your freedoms as quickly as they can. Censorship. They won't let you talk. And they want to destroy humanity. And this war on humanity, since Henry Kissinger in the 1970s wrote National Security Memorandum 200, depopulation has been the official government U.S. policy globally. And if we think there's too many people, we need to reduce it. I think there's too much government, we need to eliminate it. That's the only solution. Send it all to Death Valley. Let them have all the solar and wind they want.
There you go. Yes. And it's amazing. You've done so much work. You have the history. You're pointing out the history. You're showing right now exactly what is happening with the algorithm. I think this is perhaps one of the most important issues. Well, the election is the most important of our time, but the fraud that exists, and in particular what you've discovered and what you're taking to the various states and counties and cities and townships or whatever, I think is important work that we have to get done. And folks, please, Again, support, not just support Dr. Corsi, but make sure you get the information out to your relatives, your friends, coworkers, and everyone who will listen, and especially the people in charge of the elections. Have them look at this data, this information, because, man, I think you stumbled. I think you identified the key to how these steals, this steal, the major part is happening. And I thank you for your work. We've got about 4.5 minutes left. Your last words, my friend, because again, your effort, your blood, sweat, and tears have been behind this. Your final thoughts on this?
Well, for my entire political career, over the last 20 years, I've been writing to try to expose the lies government tells intentionally, that we're living in a Truman Show, that the government is creating a false narrative reality. And the fundamental idea is, the intelligence agencies have quit believing in God. They quit believing in the United States. They don't think we're an exceptional country. They want to destroy this. They want to create their new world order for transhumanism. They want to go to a higher level human being that, perfecting God's imperfect work. They don't believe in God. This is the path to sure ruin. And the lies they tell are always the same. They want to have perpetual war, perpetual disease, perpetual famine and conflict. We can solve these problems as human species, or we can live in the misery they create for us, because they think the more miserable we are, the more we'll surrender our freedoms in order to let them have the power to take the problem away. They are the problem. John Kennedy wanted to get rid of the nuclear weapons, so they killed him in the streets of Dallas. Okay, and John Kennedy knew they were going to kill him in the streets of Dallas. He basically had been warned. But John Kennedy would not live his life in fear. And he was determined to, if he had lived, the book is The Final Analysis, because that was the speech he gave just before he died at American University, when he said, reaching out to Khrushchev, he said, "We all live in this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish the lives of our children and our grandchildren. We all want to die in our beds at peace. And we, we are all mortal. So quit thinking we can be eternal. We'd be a transhuman. The few of us can be, Bill Gates can become a computer program and exist in some cyberspace. And in the meantime, create a vaccine that kills millions of people. And let's stop this evil. If we do that, that's at the core. And the core of the evil is in the lying. It's satanic, because Satan can only lie. And it's seductive, because it tells you, you don't need God. You can be better than God. Well, you can't. You're going to die. You're going to be mortal. You're going to be judged. And so, therefore, this is a world that has consequences. And if we don't take responsibility now, as our founding fathers wanted us to, as Abraham Lincoln warned us so many times, we'll lose this country by committing suicide, not by foreign attack. And we're in the process of national suicide right now. And I think we should send Satan and his minions in the Democratic Party right back to hell where they belong. Because I am not in favor of sexually changing our children, killing more babies in the womb, doing everything we can to stop using hydrocarbon fuels upon which this number of people exist upon in the world. We could have twice as many people and flourish. Grow enough food in the desert with hydroponics to feed twice as many people. The greatest, most scarce human resource is human intelligence. It is not limited natural resources. This planet is plentiful. We haven't run out of anything yet, and we're not going to run out of things. But we can be convinced to walk down the road to ruin and give up our freedoms by people who will lie to us. We're being lied to massively now about the 2024 election. And I want to use these algorithms to show you definitive proof that someone has meddled with our voter registration files, so that these unnamed sources secretly, covertly, can create false ballots, false voters who get legitimate state ID numbers that can vote at the will of a computer click by some criminal A mail-in ballot that will be counted because it's run through the machine with that number. This is criminal activity at the most base level, violating the right to vote, and it's got to stop.
Folks, the man, the website, Dr. Jerome Corsi, again, hat tip to Carla Dean Graves, the website godsfivestones.com. I would urge everyone to get behind Dr. Corsi, support the efforts, because if we don't, it's over. And I love how Dr. Corsi, the big picture is putting God back into this country, good versus evil, and acknowledging that. Dr. Corsi, thank you so very much. God bless you, my friend. It's so great to see you, and we'll have to catch up again very soon.